Hello and welcome to the Body Aware Living podcast. I'm Margot Rose, author of Body Aware Grieving, a fitness trainer's guide to caring for your health during sad times. And we're here to interview wise and kind people from around the world who are sharing practical ways to get through difficult challenges and celebrate our accomplishments. And today it's a super huge pleasure to introduce to you Melanie Wellard, and I'm going to ask you to help me make sure I've pronounced your name correctly, and I just can't wait to hear your voice. I would love it if you introduce a couple words about yourself. I just can't wait to hear your voice.
Thank you, Margot. Thank you so much for inviting me. It's a real honor. This is my first podcast, so this is new to me, so thank you very much. Mm-hmm. So yes, however you like to pronounce it, Melanie Wellard. I worked with teenagers, sort of very challenging teenagers, and having the name Wellard came in England. There was a time where there was a comedian who used to say, "I'm really Wellard," which meant he was really well hard, and therefore teenagers would then go, "Mel, you know, miss, are you really Wellard?" So it became, I said, "It's all right, I married into it." And then it was a lovely story with when I was getting married. My maiden name was Day, D-A-Y, and Melanie Day. So at the time I said to my husband-to-be, "I'm too old to change my name. You know, why is it we have to make all the changes and all the rest of it?" He said, "Well, that's okay. I'll take your name." So I went, "Hang on, your name is Benjamin. So your initials would be B-Day." And you know what a B-Day is? In a hotel, yeah. For washing your nether regions.
Oh, the
bidet. B-Day. B-Day, yes. So every day. So and then he said, "Well, tell you what," he said, "well," I said, "we could have a double barreled name." So I said, "Oh my God, then that would actually be I've had a Wellard day, a hard day." It just got worse. So in the end, I said, "No, okay, we'll stick with it." So there were, that's my history of my name, but it has come in handy with the jobs I've done. And I like it now that it's balanced. It's Melanie and Wellard, it's the same. It's all lots of curves, Melanie and Wellard. So it feels balanced now. I feel balanced.
Seem so balanced. And that's hilarious. So B-Day in yes. United States would make everybody think of birthday. That's like the shortened for birthday.
Yes, so it could have been that. Either way, it was all going to be made into something else. So in the end, I conceded and went with it.
Let me mention why I found you. And okay. Then you could mention a little bit about what you do and we'll sort of go forth from there. But thanks okay. for starting off with just such a fun chuckle. Melanie has these little 5 to 7 minute vlogging type videos on Facebook and probably YouTube, right?
Yeah, and Instagram, yes.
All right, so it's Mel's Mindful Musings. And she goes for these walks out in the lovely English countryside. And she just has these uplifting, beautiful, inspirational ideas about how to be gentle with yourself and how to appreciate the moment. And it's like watching her videos is like a full kind of senses experience for me, because you're in a beautiful location. And then sometimes the audio is picking up a little bit of some birds or what's happening where she is. So you're on these adventures with her. And then she's wearing something lovely, and she wears slightly different jewelry and slightly different clothes of different colors each time. It's all very, very subtle. It's like the most warm, wise, kind of nanny sort of inspiring you moments. And I listen to her little videos in the middle of the night when I have anxiety. I woke up and I'm thinking and I'm worried and I can't sleep, and I put them on then, or because she's in England and I'm in the United States, like first thing in the morning when I wake up, if I want to start my morning in a really just lovely way, I'll put on her videos that she's just posted from England, and it's morning for me. So in addition to these videos, I would just love to hear a little bit more about, you know, what you do and how you came about doing these videos, and how do you want people to feel when they're listening and watching you? Because maybe it's like I've described or not.
Well, thank you so much for that. It's I'm sort of so surprised that I'm now in this place from where they started. And when lockdown first happened, and it was sort of obviously traveling around the world. And at the time I was doing a course, I'd started a course just before lockdown to become what's called a chakra dance facilitator. I can talk about that a bit more later, but I was getting to know people for the first time. I was just getting used to the technology. I had no knowledge of all of this beforehand. And I just found it amazing that, you know, I was communicating with people so easily from all around the world. And just realizing that straight away, it just confirmed to me, as someone that had traveled a tiny bit, but not a huge amount, that we are all one, and that we, you know, this wonderful technology that could bring us all together. So when lockdown first happened, I was, I already had I was really going to push forward with my well-being business, and I had decided to give it a real push. And so I had booked into 20, I'd made the investment to book into 20 mind, body, spirit fairs or events around the country for the year 2020. So I'd paid for them all, and it was all planned, and planned all the trips. And then obviously lockdown came, and that was it, wiped out. So I'd also invested in an old motorhome so that we could travel further and stay over, and then that we wouldn't have to stay in hotels and stay on campsites and things. So what I did was, I wanted to still be outside, so I went and sat in the van in the garden and worked from there. And so I was doing readings. I work as a psychic medium as well, so I was doing readings online. And I joined, I think an email came through. And when the email came through, it was from, he's a motivational speaker. He was offering it was like a 4-day challenge of write that book. And I'm sitting there with not a lot to do and, you know, working a bit online. So I went, that's fun, I'll join in that. To cut a long story short, I got involved and I knew I had a book in me. So we just started doing this 4-day challenge and I joined in. And then I decided to move forward with it a bit more, and I joined the longer training and thought I'd start to write this book. And one of the things he said is, if you're writing a book, you must learn to do your own marketing. You've got to be able to put yourself out there. You've got to be confident enough to be on, you know, do videos and things like this. So I just started off by doing a couple of videos that I had to put up on their site. And then from there, I just started doing them. And I just thought other people were doing all sorts of other things. And I thought, well, what do I do? So I just started walking through the woods, and I found in the woods, it's where I walk my dog Angel every day. And I found a lovely big log, and then I would sit down and I started to take a coffee with me, and then I would just sit, and then she would be happy to then just sit with me, and she'd be like looking around and listening to the birds, and it was just so immersed in nature. And I thought, well, when I started doing the videos, it's very much who I am. So I'm always looking for meaning in everything. And I think that's how they started, as far back as I can remember. I would see a seed. I think I picked up a little seed, an acorn. And I started to see that as an analogy of, okay, you know, the age old saying of great oak trees from little acorns. And then I started to look at around me, and I would just see meaning. I see meaning in everything. It is just who I am. And so I started to do these little videos, and then they carried on. Then I had to, through this baptism of fire, I think it was, learning about social media. I had, because of the job I'd done before working with young people, you couldn't really have social media accounts. It was, you know, just inappropriate for that. So it was all new to me. I was literally brand new to all of this. So then I was trying to find out how to use it. So then I thought, oh, I can put these videos on Facebook, and then I can. And then with the chakra dance, when we'd done the training, they said, you've got to run a class and you've got to upload it to YouTube. Well, one, I didn't know even how to record it. And then, so I've done a lot of learning in the last 2 years. And then it was open up a YouTube account. And then I had to open up Instagram. And then they were just pushing us to do this. And I must admit, several times, I think I was going to throw my laptop out of the van window. And because it was just so stressful to do it. But I finally conquered it all, started putting these videos out. And then they became a little bit like a lifesaver for me, really, because it gave me a focus every morning to get up early, to go out, to think of the ideas. And so what I would then do is, for example, I would use little cards as inspiration. So I would have something like this, empowering questions, and I would pull a question. I never really thought it through. I would just pull and say, if you like, linking in with the universe, linking in with spirit, and just saying, what is it? What is the message you want me to get out there this morning? What inspiration do you want to give? So sometimes I would do, I have these lovely little Louise Hay ones. So I was using all sorts of things that would just keep the inspiration going. And then I would just say, okay, what is it you want me to say? And then I would start to think of it as I was on my walk. So it wasn't planned. So it's very much off the cuff. And so it was a bit, it's a bit of a ramble really. And I did try to keep them short. And it just really grew from there. I must admit, lately in the last few months, I haven't been doing them daily because they do take up, and then the uploading of them does take up a large part of the morning. So now I tend to just do them as I'm inspired and just keep them going, really. So that's really the history of them. There was no great plan, but now I look back and sitting here talking to you, I sort of think, isn't that often the most beautiful way life happens? Is it is that connection and the synchronicity. And it's something I often think of, is it's only in hindsight can we see the journey. Yes. And it's not there for us to see. We all want to see. I mean, obviously, part of the work I do is, you know, is looking into where people are going. But I don't think it's there. The curtain isn't meant to be drawn up for us to totally see where we're going all the time. It's more about bringing it into the now and having an idea where you're going, but being more embodied now. And it just gave me that to every day be focused and just to get that message out there. So, because there have been times when I thought, why am I doing this? It's only a few people. And then somebody would write a comment like yourself. If you like, the feeling I got, the message I got was, if your message helps one person and uplifts one person, you've lived your purpose today. So that is, there is no deeper meaning. I don't think about who is seeing them. People have found me. If you like, the message I say as I upload it is, please let this find whoever needs it today. Whoever needs this message, it is for that person. And that's how I put it out there. I don't have it. There's no great plan here. It's funny that my background at one point was in marketing. There is no marketing in this. It's just do it, throw it out to the world, and then whoever it lands with, where it's meant to be.
Well, I do want to congratulate you. Just that very, very natural magic. Everything you're saying, that you're just having this wonderful walk in the morning with your cute little dog Angel, and then it's just dripping with kindness and wisdom. Everything you say is, and now you really do have quite a library of messages and uplifting. When body aware grieving, a lot of people are going through these incredibly hard times, mm-hmm. and it takes such a long time. And then our responsibilities keep escalating and continuing, even when we're not feeling well. And, you know, part of what I've done in my book, Body Aware Grieving, is I help people come up with a healing action plan. Lovely. In which, trying to always think, well, what fits into your life and feels uplifting to you? What can you do when you only have 5 to 15 minutes? Because people are busy. That's all they have a lot of times. If you only have 5 to 15 minutes, what little uplifting, calming, neutral thing can you do for yourself when you're low? Either first thing in the morning, last thing at night, when you're up in the middle of the night, if you're feeling anxious, or between a big activity, you have a hard phone call or a visit with someone in the hospital or something so discouraging. How do you freshen and lighten and sort of cleanse your emotional palate, as it were, before going into that next activity that you want to do, you know, physically safely because you're feeling well enough to concentrate before driving, for example, or, you know, working with knives in the kitchen or something, you know, how do you just get yourself neutral and happier? Not happy, not always happier is not always possible. And you don't proclaim that. You're not like all foo-foo, woo-woo with your messages. Yeah. They're just very simple, and they're often about doing the best you can. And look at this lovely surrounding. People who are often, I deal a lot with people who have movement problems, they have immune system problems, they've got health issues. I've dealt with seniors for decades, and they can't always get out on that beautiful walk by themselves. So you're sort of walking for us, and you're showing us all these different beautiful environments, and you're showing us all the different scenery and anyhow, you have, congratulations. You just now have a,
Thank
however
you.
you wandered into it, you've got this really long library and that people can listen to just one of them. It's usually right around
Yes.
5 to 10 minutes, no more.
Yeah.
And it fits into anybody who feels called to it their day. And if someone's really having a hard time and you want to like binge really hard on those videos, you've actually got a lot of good work up there now. And I want to thank you for that.
Thank you. And I think that's where the inspiration was. I don't put a date on them. So
Nice.
I purposefully don't say, I might say, refer to the fact that it's a new moon or a full moon or something like that. But I want to leave them out there as messages that people can pick up, as you say, just come across. Because one thing I was learning about social media is I started to try and study all about the analytics and then I gave up. I just went, I don't understand. So when they said that even your friends on Facebook might not see your message because it's up to Facebook, who decides who sees what? I just thought, okay, well, that's when I just released again all that stress of trying to get it right. I just let go. And it's that art of surrender that I talk about quite a lot. It's just that, do you know what? Just let it go. So it's like I've, in a way, had this bit of a, I don't know what I'll call it, but a bit of a battle of my background of planning and, you know, my corporate background of having everything planned and doing project management and things like that. And everything I've been doing with my well-being business since I've been doing it the last few years is so much has been about letting go, just see what happens, because it every time I tried to plan it, like as I say, 20 shows booked and then all gone. So it's like the universe is having a bit of a joke and saying, no, just flow with it and just see where the river takes you, or where the wind blows you, whichever way you want to look at it.
Yeah.
So
you know, in these interviews I'm trying to keep to approximately half hour, which goes by so quickly when someone's, you know, interesting and lovely. And I, anyone could feel that you have such a kind heart and just the way you glow and you're like Glenda the Good Witch from a Wizard of Oz. Just the way you look and even your lighting and your little halo, it's just so good wishes. And I wanted to mention, I wish, you know, we might have to come back for more than one interview because I know there's so much life experience to be sharing and good intentions that you have, you want people to know about, especially if they're struggling. So some of the things you mentioned that you've done is a little bit of being an officiant, if I've pronounced that right, at funerals.
Yep.
And also you're about to start having weddings and helping people. So this sort of cycle of life of like,
yes,
helping people who are the mourners at a funeral, and also, you know, how do you inspire and provide hope as someone just launches on this brand new hopeful life as a new married couple, and especially since you've had these funerals in already accomplished,
yeah,
you know, and a body aware grieving. So a lot of the people listening to us are going through hard times, or they're maybe they went through a hard time and they were too busy to deal with it then, especially 2020.
Yes.
4 of 6 of my favorite girlfriends lost their mothers all in 2020. Like it's
goodness,
just people are too overwhelmed at first. They want to go back later when they're a little more stable and they feel a little better. Maybe they have more time. And then it opens up all of this. How do I heal from this? How do I even understand what I've been through? How do I, you know, what is grief and how do I do it? And how am I going to feel better after this change in my life? I would have preferred hadn't been like been so. So when you're at these funerals and as you start to do upcoming ones, what do you offer to help people feel consoled and find that peacefulness a little earlier?
Well, this was another thing that I trained in just recently. So I did it back in February. So it's just been this year to train to be a celebrant, which, as you say, I can now officiate over weddings, funerals and naming ceremonies as well. Which would be an unofficial form of a christening, and all sorts of other rituals. I did training in if someone was going through the menopause and they might want to do a ceremony for that and to cross any threshold, basically, is the training that I did. It had been on my list of what I wanted to do for several years. And the reason being was it started back with the funeral of my father, and I was asked to write the eulogy. And at the time, I didn't even know what a eulogy was. I realized as I was writing it that, again, it came right to my heart of I believe in writing the truth. And I just don't seem to be able to do otherwise. But people think if you write the truth, you're being unkind. And I said, no, there's a way to write the truth. And I've been to funerals where I'm listening to what's being said and I don't recognize the person they're talking about. And I found that that didn't honor the person that had passed, because we are all such a mix of, you know, we are our life. And if we don't honor that at these times, then it, I think, does it a disservice.
Can I ask a clarifying question? So is one of your main points right now that healing funeral or memorial service could be one that lands as accurate as opposed to one that might be sort of feeling sort of a little fake and whitewashed?
Yeah. And also, do remember, everyone wants it their own way. So it's about honoring the people who are left behind and honoring the person who has their loved one who has passed. And sometimes it can be someone, I've done a funeral where there were very few people who were there to attend, but it doesn't matter whether there's 1,000 people or 2 people, it's the same amount of love and work that you would put into it. And so as part of the role, it is to meet with the family or meet with who I suppose you would entitle the chief mourner, and talk to them about what it is they want to do. They would also be working with a funeral director, and then for me to write the service. And often that would also mean writing the eulogy. For example, the first one that I was officially asked to do, they wanted me to do all of it. So they didn't want to come up and stand up and do any tribute or anything like that. So I did, and I was able to. But then I make sure they check it and they read it, and we might make changes or additions, and then bring other members of the family in. Because once it gets started, to start with, often people say, I don't want to do anything, I don't want to say anything. And then once they start to see it and I send the first script and then they pass that around, then people can say, oh, I have this memory that I'd like to go in there. And then I consider it. And as I say, this then took me back to the training I was first doing about write that book. It sort of was then bringing out the writing. It's like word magic, I feel, in doing this. And I realized I'd got it right when, after this first funeral, the son of, it has been his father who had passed, and he came up to me afterwards and he was crying. He said, Melanie, he said, I just don't know what to say. And he just was like tripping over his words. And he just said, I just can barely find the words. He said, the way you wrote it, the way you spoke it, he said, it was like my dad was in the room with us. When he said that, I just then thought, okay, I've fulfilled my purpose today. So as I say, I'm new to this. This is the beginning of another new journey. And then it was at that funeral, they asked me if I'd like to. There was only just immediate family, and I did sort of know them. We weren't friends, but we were acquaintances. Once we met, we realized we knew each other. They asked me if I would just go out, come for a drink with them. It was, we all had to eat outside. It was still during lockdown. And so we just sat and we had a drink. And then halfway through this, everyone was just having a chat. And then all of a sudden, one of the friends said from across the table, she just sort of said out loud, I want to get married. And everyone sort of stopped and looked and thought, that's a very strange thing to say at this time. And she said, I want to get married and I want Mel to do my wedding. Because she said, that's the best funeral I've ever been to. It's the most beautiful thing I've. And so I just thought it was, you know, she's had a drink, and I just thought, oh, it's just, you know, lightheartedness. And then I got a message when I got home later in that afternoon saying, can you book a year in advance? And my mind was still on funerals. And so I was really, I thought, what do you mean book it a year in advance? My goodness, what's happened? And then she said, no, my friend went home and said to her partner, okay, let's do this. Because I think he'd been asking her to marry him and she hadn't given him an answer. And then she said, I found the person, I want to do it. Then their friend said, we want to do it with you. And so it's turned into a double wedding, and it's going to be in a field. And I think, again, that's why I love this role, is it's not restricted by religious service, but it's very spiritual. To me, it feels more spiritual. And so we're going to be doing it outdoors. Let's hope it doesn't pour with rain, but we'll have a contingency plan if it is. So, yes, yeah, so, and then I will write the service again, and I'll write their love stories. I just need, so I send out a questionnaire, so I find out all about how they met and what they feel about each other and everything, and then I once again create the story. So it's a great honor. I can't really put into words how I feel afterwards. It's again another blessing to just be there to support and hold people at that time, and we'll just see where this takes me now.
Yeah, you're just this lovely storyteller, and I can see everything you're saying so vividly. And so if you were to say, and say, you know, it's challenging, but if you were to say in like 10 words or less or something very short, what is your message to a couple of any age that is about to embark? Like if you had to boil it down to like 10, go into this kind of wish.
Day at a time. I think for me, that's, you know, there's no magic wand for this. It is a day at a time. And as long as you stay facing each other in that same level of commitment, then you have a good chance of making it through.
Oh, nice. And how long, just out of curiosity, you've mentioned your husband and your names together, just out of curiosity, how long have you and your partner, how many years ago did you meet your partner?
We have been together 30 years now. Married for about, you lose count after a while. I think we just had our 22nd wedding anniversary.
And 30 years connected.
So yes, and we're still facing each other, and we still, yeah, still there, still in love, still loving it.
That's very inspiring. Again, if you said something I hadn't heard before as we connected before this interview, you also have rituals and rites of passage that you do with women going through perimenopause, menopause. Mm-hmm. Again, if we had to boil it down to like a little 10-word nugget, what would be a 10-word nugget you'd say to women, say 40 to 60 years old?
This is part of our life. Accept that it's part of our life. Honor it as part of our life, rather than seeing it as some attack on you. It is part of who we are as women, and it's not always, you know, we have challenges with it, as we do when we're teenagers and we start other rites of passage, but it is who we are, and if we can accept it, then we can see it very differently.
It is who we are. That's just a lovely phrase and summary of a wish.
We are goddesses.
There's that. If we don't let that undertow of things that we're told we're losing, if we don't let that undertow mm-hmm. of taught that we're going through a loss take us downstream, and we lose that empowerment.
We can
lose it really quickly at any age, but especially that one.
And especially if we look back to ancient cultures, if we can see it, I mean, it's a word I don't like at all, but I don't know why. It's just the way it's been used to say we're going into the crone stage. But it is the wise woman. You know, it is the fact when I've certainly found you come into your own, and all of a sudden you're filled with, you know, my memory might go a bit wobbly, but you are filled with this inspiration that comes through that is able to be given free rein.
This is perfect. That's exactly what you're saying. Even the free rein is the perfect segue. After hating the word crone and the word ma'am and all this, and there's no positive word for it. And I saw something on Facebook recently, and it was this little drawing, and this woman is like, at this age, I am a queen-ager. I was like, oh, it's genius. I don't know who said it.
I love that. Person.
I'm a queen-ager now. I don't know.
Fabulous.
Well, since we're probably only going to have a couple more minutes at this moment, and just to guarantee, I would love to have you back for another show.
Okay.
Absolutely. How do we get in touch with you? And since we're talking to people from all over the world, I know things are, you know, opening up and more things mm-hmm. are local if you're in England, you know, more and more people, because you've done this, you've cast this really wide net with all your beautiful, however arduous it was to come about the lighting and the tech stuff and the things that make you want to throw the computer and phone out the window. Despite all that, you've accomplished this huge body of work that can and probably will generate a lot of interest from around the world. So what are you doing next? And how much of it can people who aren't local at the moment in England what are you offering us and how do we access it?
Well, I would think the best way is to just look up my website, melaniewellard.co.uk. And I think you're going to put the details, aren't you, under the this podcast. So look that up. It gives you my my email address and just send me a note. Or you can probably direct message me directly from my videos. As I say, what this has taught me is distance makes no difference. Mm-hmm. And so I can, I'm also an executive coach. I'm a psychic medium. I'm a healer. I'm a Reiki master. It's realizing, I already knew it because I can send distance healing, but all of a sudden being able to do it on Zoom and realize you can have that connection. And so it's energy. So it doesn't matter the distance. You know, we accept Wi-Fi, don't we? And then yes. People still say, well, how can you send energy? Well, there you go. We've got the evidence of Wi-Fi. I know there's a satellite, but there's a different type of satellite for this. You know, I would say that that's a good place. I do people can book in with me for different sessions. I combine the skills that I have and what I have to offer. So some people, for example, can book in for an hour and a half, 2 hours, sometimes 3 hours, and we have a whole half day, and I can do a bit of a reading, look into their life, then we look at where they're blocked, what they need to move, and then we start coaching sessions in helping them to find where they want to go, help empower them to reach where they want to, what goals they want to reach, undo the blocks, maybe from the past. It's whatever their journey is, I can probably help them through it. Yeah, just drop me a line and then we can have a chat and see where we go from there. Mm-hmm. And all my rates are on my website as well. So.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I could also see, as you talk about, you know, people go through something like a wedding or they go through something like a funeral, and that's the beginning of this journey, not yes. whatsoever any part of the middle or the end or the work of it. So if people have already come together, for example, as a funeral, if they've come together, whether they're family or friends, if they've come together over loss of a common person and they wanted as a group or small group to say, how can Melanie continue helping us through what we are now learning? That's that day at the graveyard yeah. or at the side yeah. of the ocean is people are so out of it mentally. They especially yes. the primary grievers hardly ever, they're usually out of body. They hardly have any memory of what's happening. And that's not yes. where the learning, maybe a little bit of learning starts there, but the learning happens afterwards. Yeah. So if we're a married couple, and if a couple yes. or not only married, I mean, whatever partnership people want, if they wanted kind of coupling as a romance, counseling as a romance, yeah. if they want advice for you as either after the initiation of a romance or after the initiation of a loss, is that something that you would want to talk to?
Yes, certainly. And people have reached out for that. And I do work with people who have, where they have lost somebody. And it's something I've said to many people over the years, even before I started this as a business, is that very often we think when something in society is called a celebration, and whether that is a wedding or we've bought a new house or we've got a new job, whatever these things are, we've got a new baby, there's an expectation that we should be full of joy and it's absolutely fantastic. But what often happens, and I sometimes help waterproof people with this, and I've said to people, after the wedding, you may find that you all of a sudden feel like you're falling off that cliff. The day, you know, and they say now this is a very common phenomenon, that often depression can come in afterwards because this high expectation of what life should now be like, depending on what their expectations were as they went into this. And then it's like, oh, well, here's life. And it's, so I always say to people, be gentle with yourself. When you all of a sudden plummet, don't worry, just go through that, be gentle with yourself. And I promise you're going to come out the other side. So yes, I do work with people to help with whatever the circumstance, really. I don't think I don't put a rule on what it has to be. And I think you're totally right. I think when somebody is going through that, they're floating through that experience of grieving. And I think if there was something I said at the recent ceremony, that the best you can do for others, to help others you know who are grieving, is let their grief be what it needs to be. Whereas people can say, well, it should be this and it should be that and you should be going through this. I think you can just let it be what it is. There is not a rule book for this. There's plenty of books written on it. Right. But there's no rules, and everything you're experiencing is okay for you.
I mean, this will all launch into a whole nother, a whole nother discussion. But you've mentioned some of the often surprising and unexpected downside or stress that could happen after a big thing, like, oh, we've had a baby, or oh, we've bought a house, or oh, we've gotten married. I want to open up the possibility, because people feel guilty and don't let in the occasional, depending on the circumstance, unexpected relief of pain after someone has passed away. I think people are reluctant to believe that, like when people are struggling of a long-term ailment or caring for the caregiver, it's been this long, slow decline. Yeah. It's been so challenging for everybody. And they think, oh, I'm going to feel even worse after they're dead. And the, of course, but sometimes you're like, you're just relieved or exhausted, or you're elated that now maybe you can go to do some things for yourself you weren't able to do. And the idea that you might feel in some ways relieved or at peace or possibly better or more open to new opportunities, or sometimes the person who passed away, exactly as you mentioned, it was a really mixed bag. Sometimes you hated the person who passed away and you were told you should love them because it was, oh, this is your dad, or, you know, sometimes these were really rough relationships and it can feel like a whole new start for yourself sometimes later. And then the possibility that it might be any benefit after someone has passed away that you don't need to feel guilty about. Just like the downside after a quote unquote happy event, the unexpected sort of newness after something that we're taught is sad and we're supposed to feel a certain way.
I remember saying that, where someone said to me, is it okay to be relieved? And I said, of course it is. It's okay to feel whatever you feel. I mean, I often recommend that people go and speak to a counsellor, a bereavement counsellor. And whilst I have had some training in that myself, you know, I say it's sometimes better to go and speak to a stranger, because, and in my own experiences, everyone feels it differently, but especially sometimes within families, it becomes an argument as to I'm feeling it this way and you're feeling it that way. And so even in my own family, when my father died, I don't think I ever spoke about my feelings to my mother or my sister. So your feelings get shut away because you're supporting your mum, as you say, the primary person in the family. And there's like a hierarchy of who's expected to feel the most grief from the outside world. It can be very strange, the pressures that are put on people as to how they're meant to feel or expected to feel. So I will always recommend that somebody go and find someone, if that sits with them well, to go and find someone just to let out whatever in there, and where someone will witness it. They're not there to give you advice or whatever, but just to hold that space and allow you to work it through as it works itself through, you know. And again, no timing on that or how it should be. It's, I think, if you can just give people permission that it is what it is, that can go a long way to help the healing, I think.
The relief of, like you've said before, and this will be our parting words, but the relief of authenticity, that whatever it is, there can be a piece of just knowing this is real and true. This is authentic of whatever I'm feeling or experiencing. Just something that feels true can bring peace, even if it's not the answer everyone's looking for or told they should want. Oh my God, yay! Oh my God, you're so much fun to talk to. I'm meeting one of my heroes. I mean, honestly, I hope everyone watches your videos or sees what's in it for them if they're attracted to any part of that. And you and I will for sure be staying in touch as we watch this next, you know, year and years. Thank you so much for your time, Melanie. Thank you for joining
us. Welcome. I feel I've met a kindred spirit.
I don't doubt that whatsoever.